This is Pastor Chip Anderson from Christ Presbyterian Church in the Hill, and this is the message for August 30th, 2020. This is more a look at where we've been and how it relates to the therefore that is in Romans 5:1. Next week we will cover the paragraph of the first chapter, the first set of verses in Romans 5. But today, remembering our purpose, so we may stand in grace. Romans 1, 1 through 7, and Romans 5, 1 through 2. Margaret Mead, sociologist, anthropologist, once said, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has." No, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has. Although this is actually true sociologically and in a vast measure historically, the principle works because God does not share glory. And hates the proud boasts of humans. So the idea of that small, as in the small group, the small is always what changes the world. And in the scheme and plan of God, the small, powerless, odd, weak, mixed church, really the house churches, will eventually, if we start with the book of Romans, change the world and has changed the world. In early church history, within 150 years, Christianity becomes majority religion in an empire that it should have never taken hold of, because it was in big contrast to Caesar and the ways of the empire, especially the honor-shame system. Christianity not so much became powerful as it is had spread throughout the known world. It had the biggest changes you could note at that time. Children mattered. Women mattered, although not completely eradicated. Slaves mattered. Although very big theology in Romans, it is about the church. Let's recall the verses in Romans 1, 1 through 7. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we come to our, what will start our new section of Romans, Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through him we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So where are we? This is an already but not yet tension of our faith. We don't look redeemed, don't look justified, don't look like we have been reconciled to God. But do we? What does being justified look like? What does being reconciled to God look like? I remind you, as I will remind you again in a little bit, that Paul is writing this gospel to the house churches in Rome, and thus to us even here now. While so much doesn't look or feel like we have these things, justification with God, peace with God, reconciliation with God, we have what it looks like as church, literally, really, as house churches, gathered house churches. Imagine these house churches in Romans 16, filled with strangers and unequals, eating together, being discipled together. The already is the church, the welcoming house churches as they gather together for worship, instruction, and fellowship. Unheard of, ever. Paul has spent his ink explaining the condition of our hearts, all hearts without distinction, sinners. This is why Paul is obligated to the elite Greek, the Jew, the barbarian, the educated, and the uneducated. Imagine the solution to every human problem. Every human relationship. The solution to every social ill is not some fix of Caesar or government or program, but it is turning the sinner into a saint and creating a gathered community that welcomes all who believe, the elite Greek, the Jew, the barbarian, the educated, and the uneducated. Imagine. Well, that is what Paul is talking about in chapters 1 through 4, and now he turns his attention to Romans 5 through 8 on the impact this gospel has on us, on those who believe. Verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. So the first thing is Romans 5:1 is a potent summary of what Paul has been driving at in Romans 1 through 4. Therefore, again, verse 1, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So A, the therefore. What is it therefore? As a result to what I've been saying, here's the result. The whole of what Paul is saying, the gospel is revealed, the righteousness of God is revealed, the wrath of God is revealed. But now the righteousness of God has been made manifest apart from the law, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. All have fallen short or lack the glory of God. Everyone is a sinner and sins. Yet salvation in Christ is based not on the law nor any identity marker, circumcision, Sabbath keeping, food, impurity regulations, and laws. Salvation not based on any form of works. A salvation that is based on faith in and loyalty to Jesus, who is our propitiation, our covering for sin. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, what I just said, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. While I believe this is just fine contextually, and I think we are right to still take a look at the therefore in light of everything Paul has been saying in chapters 1 through 4, it is, as you might say, or as I would say, the whole of what the therefore is there for. We should read the therefore with the immediate Abrahamic context in mind, especially noting Paul ends chapter 4 and the Abrahamic reference with the words, our justification. So let's read Romans 4:22 through 25 with Romans 5:1. This makes the transition to dealing more directly with the gathered house churches in Rome. So if we go back up to verse chapter 4, verse 22, that is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but ours. The house churches in Rome, the Christians, it will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So as a result, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this brings us to be a note on faith and belief. I just want you to note these two words. The astounding number of times that faith and belief are used in Romans 1 through 4 make it impossible not to see that Paul has focused on the theme of faith and belief here. 27 times the word faith appears. 9 times the word believes appears, if you're not even counting the words unbelief. Both are built on pistis pisteo. That's the word for faith. Faith, having faith, believing 36 times in chapters 1 through 4. So you can get a little bit of the wider picture, because most people see the theme of righteousness and justification. But the terms of righteousness or righteous, justifying, justifier word group is cited 29 times in Romans 1 through 4. Not that we have to have a competition between faith and justification, but to show you how important the idea of faith and believing is in Romans 1 through 4. Of course, the focus on faith and belief is to draw our attention to that this gospel is apart from the law or any identity markers, except for being one of those who have faith, those who believe. But still, let's review some of the references to faith and belief once again. Did this last week, but we're going to do it again. The purpose of Paul's mission, Romans 1:5. This is, just a little aside, verses 16 and 17 is not the theme of the book. It is a partial explanation of what Paul is doing for sure. But the theme of the book is Romans 1:1-7. But here is Romans 1:5, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among the nations. The purpose of Paul's mission is the purpose of the letter. Paul's purpose in writing to the church in Rome is to mutually encourage each other's faith. Romans 1:12, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Paul's gospel is the power of God for salvation to all, to everyone who believes. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The righteousness of God, the twin focus to faith, is revealed wherever faith is found. Romans 1:17, for in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, or wherever faith is found. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. The righteousness is through the faithfulness of Jesus for all who believe. Romans 3:22, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. The redemptive action of God is covering for sin, is to be received by faith. Romans 3:25, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Being justified is by faith apart from works. Romans 3:28, For we behold that one is justified by faith, apart from the works of the law. Abraham is a model of justification by faith. Romans 4:3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted, reckoned to him as righteousness. Abraham and his offspring are heir to the world through the righteousness that comes by faith. 4:13. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If this righteousness comes by law, then faith is worthless, and the promise given to Abraham is void. Romans 4:14, for it is the adherents of the law who are to be heirs. Faith is null, and the promise is void. There's one importance here, because this is now a setup, which is coming in chapter 5. The setup is Romans 4:16. This is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring. Growing in faith is attached to giving glory to God. Another setup to Romans 5, if you will, Romans 4:20. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. You're going to see this in Romans 5:1-2. And finally, we, like Abraham, are counted righteousness based on believing. Here's that reference again to those who believe, Romans 4:24. But for ours also, it will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord. So this leads me to talk about peace just a little bit, and we will talk more about this next week. But this idea of peace in the context is a cessation of hostility between God and believers. Believers who were once enemies of God. The rest of Romans 5:1 through and all the way to verse 11. We are yet sinners, verse 8. While we were yet sinners, verse 8. While we were enemies, verse 10. You can see this is a cessation of hostility between God and the believer. The wrath of God has been stayed. There is more, but we will take that for now. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have this peace with God. The hostility is at an end. The second thing that we come to now is the whole thing is all about grace, and access is only by faith. Verse 2, though through him we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. The idea of access here is like someone, a friend, perhaps someone who is in a higher position because of our notoriety, our being known by them. We could put you there so that they could provide access to those who are in power. That's the kind of access we have with God. We are friends with God as Abraham was. We are friends with God. We have someone in a high place that will grant us access. We have friendship with Jesus. We have salvation with Jesus, so that we have access to God. Grace, the undeserved favor in which God grants his salvation. It's a big word, grace. We will concentrate more on it next week, but grace. We've tried to make an acronym out of it, God's riches at Christ's expense. But it's far bigger than that. There is nothing we can do for this. There is no merit in us. There is no slice of non-sinfulness in the human being that allows us. We are given this by grace. And that, it says, access by grace into this, by faith into this grace in which we stand. The idea of stand is being established. These house churches needed to know that they could stand, that they would be established. This grace is our marker, you might say. Paul uses this in Romans 10:3, for being ignorant of the righteousness of God, the Jews, being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish, that is to stand on their own, seeking to stand on their own merit, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Romans 11:20, that is true. They were broken off. Jews were broken off because of their unbelief. But you stand, you Gentiles, stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. And then in the very essence of getting these house churches to get on board what it means to be the church of God in Rome, Romans 14:4. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands, he is established or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. So how do we know that all these things are true, the promises, that it is by grace, it is by faith, that we are justified, we have peace, we have reconciliation with God? It is because of the house churches. They are the already. And this leads us finally back to glory, which is our hope. If you look at it this way, we already have peace. We're waiting to be reconciled. We're waiting for the glory. We're waiting for it to be complete. In verse 2, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. This idea of rejoicing, of boasting, a restoration in what was supposed to be in the first place, the glory of God, the purpose of why God made man. Psalm chapter 8 tells us this glory is our purpose of creation, why we were created, so that all creation would submit to God's Adam and Eve's. Romans 1:23. And exchange the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, and birds and animals and creepy things. This is what we have exchanged. This justification gives us the hope that this will be changed. And then we can see it in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 4:20, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God. Abraham is a reversal of the fall. Of course, Romans 5, verse 2, part B, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The not yet part, we hope in the glory of God. We are looking for the restoration of what has been lost. And then we jump almost all the way to the end of the next section, Romans 5 through 8. We jump to Romans 8, 18. For I consider the sufferings, and you will note that Romans 5 begins with this idea of suffering. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed. In verse 21, Romans 8:21, and creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. And this leads us to Romans 8:29 and 30. For those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. And if you've lost track of what Paul is getting at, listen to Romans 15:7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ. He's definitely talking to the house churches here, right? Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. So our hope. We have right now peace with God, and we hope for the glory, which I take to be we had lost our purpose in being created, and we are put back on the path. But it is the church. It is the church where we see this happening. And this leads us to our last point this morning, what we need to know. Justification by faith changes everything. If you just take a sweep of Romans 1 through 4, it brings us from wrath to peace, from the wrath of God being revealed against all ungodliness to being at peace, having the peace, having the hostility ended when we are justified by faith. We are also brought from death to life. We are also brought from slavery to freedom. Romans chapter 5 will talk about death to life. Romans chapter 6 will talk about from slavery to freedom. And then from sin and idolatry to glory. Our hope of glory, God's glory, our created purpose will always be a struggle with the tyranny of sins, and thus will always be an experience of suffering that comes from living in and with a world in rebellion against sin, against God. The hostility we, that is believers, had toward God prior to our justification by faith is now at an end. And now we are to live, to have peace with God, to be reconciled with God. In Romans chapters 5-8, we will see how this grace has impacted us as a church. We stand in grace. We stand. We are established in what we cannot, could not, and will not be able to do. Redemption and its revelation amid the church is all of God's sovereign choice so as to fulfill his promise to make Abraham his blessing so that all families of the earth will be blessed. This is why Paul is obligated, because all are under the wrath of God. All the elite Greek, Jews, barbarians, educated and uneducated, all thy diverse classes, all thy diverse divisions of peoples, he is obligated because it is now to those who believe. Amen. May God add to the reading of his word and to the explanation so that we might be more obedient in faith. Amen.